It's Helping Hand. Weekly feature airs statewide, HPR1 stations on Fridays, part of All Things Considered, and then it's archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event on Fridays and offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for listening. This week, we have a great returning guest organization you may have heard about. They're doing a lot of good in the community. They're called RYSE, and it's spelled R-Y-S-E, and it means Residential Youth Services and Empowerment. It's a nonprofit that is operating an access center. Hawaii street youth are assessed. They're referred for different kinds of support services. They're targeting people 18 to 24, and it's to get them a safe place to live, basically temporary living, very vulnerable people, and we'll hear about who it is they're trying to help, the many ways that RYSE can be supported, as we welcome back their executive director, Carla Hauser. Hey, Carla, thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always an honor to be in here.
So when we think of Hawaii street youth, I guess we'll back up a second, just because we're statewide, so you can imagine where I'm going with this. It's Hawaii street youth, but the ones that are in the Honolulu area, Oahu, basically.
Correct. Right now, we're serving young people 18 to 24 right here on Oahu. We have gotten a number of young people who are coming from outer islands, just because there's more services here, whether it's for behavioral health, mental health. But our primary focus right now are street youth on Oahu.
And I still have it right. It's 18 to 24s.
Correct. That's for the residential services. We do offer drop-in services 7 days a week, and that's for any young person who wants to come in.
Like minors and stuff.
Yep, minors to, you know, basic needs, get some food, take a hot shower, meet with case managers. But currently, we are a housing program for 18 to 24-year-olds.
So thinking about the services, the most important, the biggest, well, there's a lot of important levels of service, but the most important one is housing.
Correct.
And then when you've got them in, once you've got them, so to speak, then you can start doing the other critical, I guess, behavioral modification and lifestyle?
Yes, absolutely. We have found that getting young people just putting a roof over their head and giving them a safe place to sleep, it's amazing the transformation that happens when, you know, they have some place where they can feel comfortable, feel safe. Once they start getting back into their regular sleep patterns, they start making better choices. Their substance use goes down. They're more open to meeting with staff and case management and starting to kind of, you know, put out what their path is and where it is that they want to go in life. And it's really our kind of kuleana to walk beside them in their journey. If they want to go back to high school, if they want to get into college, if they want to look at some sort of residential vocational opportunity, it's really finding out what their dreams are and where they want to go, and then providing all of that wraparound support to help them get there.
Sounds like, and maybe I have it totally wrong, but just from my conversations with people like Greg Payton over at Mental Health Kokua, who I've gotten to talk with a lot about similar sorts of issues. Is this kind of like your approach? It's like the housing first sort of thing? Because it sounds like, basically, he'll say, like, when you get the roof over their head, it's easier to start doing the other stuff right away.
You know, there's the housing first model that's become so, you know, prevalent, and it's become a model of success for a lot of different communities. But I always want to remind folks that there is also a housing first for youth model. It's very popular in Canada, and it's not just about just sticking them into, you know, housing and saying, okay, good luck. With young people, they need a lot of intensive support.
Right.
You know, they are still developmentally, they've, you know, they're trying to figure things out. And it's really about, you know, helping to guide them, allowing them to make mistakes and quote unquote fail, get back up and try again. And that's really what we're there for, is to provide that wraparound intensive support. We like to call it unconditional positive regard.
Right. So,
and then relentless engagement. That's the big thing for us, is, okay, you're not ready today. How about tomorrow? And so we definitely provide a lot of wraparound just kind of support for them.
And a lot of these kids would otherwise be on the street. I remember we were talking last time you were here, you had a word, street entrenched, mm-hmm. was the term. And I think as we head towards hearing about some of the things that have changed or the developments on your program over the year, I think that term makes more sense to folks maybe even after a year in, because we just have such a serious issue going on. And I mean, I haven't been on the other islands to be able to see it myself, but what you can see in the Honolulu area is just, it's frightening.
Yeah. And youth homelessness across the nation is on the rise. Mm. Young people, it was last year, HUD identified it as one of the fastest growing subpopulations. Youth homelessness. There was a greatest increase in that particular population. And when you think about it, you know, less and less young people are opting to go to college because they don't want the debt. The reality of a young person, 18, 19 years old, who doesn't yet have the skill sets to be able to make that magical $14 an hour full time, they're not surviving here. Right. They are going to double up or be on the sofa or live with family. And then when the day-to-day pressures of a young person who might have substance use disorders, who might, you know, have the start of some mental health issues, if that family can't maintain and that family is having a hard time, you know, having that young person in the house, they go right. And out to the streets. And we don't see young people pushing shopping carts down the street. And so oftentimes they are our community's invisible. Right. And so that's why it's really important to have places like the Youth Outreach Program in Waikiki or a place like Rise where, you know, they can at least have some place to go, get fed, and take care of their basic needs.
Because you just imagine how much it'll spiral out of control if something like that didn't exist for them. And then the final thing before we hear about what's new since last year, are there any costs? So for people, there's a lot of service. It's roof over their head. It's lots of therapy and different ways to try to help them once you get them into your program. Are there costs for them?
No costs at all. We cover everything from, you know, it's really hard for a young person to go out and get a job if they don't have all of their vital documents. Right. That's the very first place that we start, is getting their birth certificate, their social security card, getting their ID. We've helped a number of young people actually get their driver's license, which is a huge rite of passage for this age group. We also make sure that we connect them with medical insurance and also their SNAP EBT so that they can eat and get proper nutrition. All of that's really, really important for them in this developmental stage.
How are you guys turning to help? It's a great bridge. How do you get the funding then to do all of that? If you've got, like, where's the money come from? If they pay nothing and you provide so much, I'm terrible with math. Try to explain for me how all of this bounty can come.
Well, it first starts with having an amazing board of directors. We have a working board like none on this island. We have a successful fundraiser once a year that brings in anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000 a year for us.
And you get grants and stuff?
Yep. And then we also get some money from city and county through the grant and aid process. And we were awarded last year in January Ohana Zone funding. That allowed us to add 10 extra beds. It allowed us to start building out our behavioral health and education programs.
So these are some of the things since you were last on that have happened.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what else? So bigger, more beds, so
yes.
More people you're taking care of.
Yeah, so now we have a 30-bed capacity, and even that is not enough.
Right.
We still
obviously
have a wait list. We still have young people sleeping on our sofas until we can kind of make some things move around. We've really ramped up our behavioral health and medical services. We've added a medical clinic that we have an APRN on site and also a volunteer psychiatrist that's able to really help these young people start to look at what their behavioral health needs are. And for some of them, they're just starting med management or starting to talk about the PTSD and the trauma that they've experienced. So that has just been really crucial in helping get them on right track. We're also looking to start our EGALA. It's equine therapy program.
Oh, with horses.
With horses. With some of our young men who've had some anger issues, we've had a lot of early success with that. So we're going to send some staff to get continued certifications.
Well, I remember from one of the things I loved about the program was its location, mm-hmm. which was, and I still haven't seen it, but you did a good enough job in explaining it to me that maybe I'm just naive, but it just sounded so like natural, and there was lots of acreage and trees, and there were some creatures up there too.
Oh yeah, yeah. So we're very fortunate to be on the Kawailoa Youth and Family Wellness Center program on that campus. It's a little over 400 acres,
wow.
And there's still a herd of cattle there. I'm told they're the descendants of the Queen's original herd.
And they're cared for by someone.
They are cared for by the state DLNR, Office of Youth Services. It's really fun to, you know, kind of drive up on property and see our young people with the lounge chairs out, just sitting and watching the cows. And so we get a lot of pigs and, you name it. It's beautiful. It's green. There's something very healing about that property.
Oh, I bet there is. And those horses, we just had Therapeutic Horsemanship of Hawaii back mm-hmm. on, and they do... I guess similar sorts of mm-hmm. things with just using, because like what you, yeah, there's something very powerful, just about any animal. Sometimes it's very subtle. It's to detect what it's doing for you, but you can, you know, whether it's just being around a fish or several fish or snails or a dog mm-hmm. or horses, pigs, cows, just about any creature, there's something so disarming.
We have a few fish that's have taken up home in our learning center, and they become this very tranquil focus mm-hmm. point for our young people as they're studying and working towards their GED or high school diploma.
They do that right there.
Yeah, they do. On site, we have a teacher that Olamana has provided. So Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 12, we have a part-time DOE teacher on campus helping our young people.
Well, that's it. So there are a couple of things you mentioned. You mentioned your psychologist who was, I think you used the word volunteering,
mm-hmm.
and then you just mentioned this part-time teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably some really talented folks out there listening who are mental health professionals, education professionals, probably people who could help you with the maintaining your property. What are some of the, could you use more psychologists who would want to come? Could you use more teachers? Maybe let's start with the human potential of people listening who maybe are touched by it or have a skill. What could you use the most to further enhance what you're doing?
We've had some great partnerships with folks in the community, whether it's coming and teaching cooking classes, whether it's being a volunteer driver's ed teacher for some of our young people. We've had some amazing people come up and do art therapy with our young people, teaching them how to use spray paint, air guns. And so we've partnered with Junior League, and they've come out and done a series of life skills building courses. American Savings Bank is coming out this Friday to do a whole financial literacy piece for us. So anything along those lines, any positive, caring, nurturing adult that wants to come, give a commitment, and just be a positive force in a young person's life. We like to say often that we really, really are fortunate that these kids allow us to participate in their lives. They've had a lot of junk kind of handed down to them
right.
by adults, and so we need to fix that. And by having, you know, really great people from the community, it's been really wonderful to see the strides that we've made.
It sounds like a lot of rebuilding trust.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It can happen in there. So there's lots of ways people can help with your skills, and it sounds like you should not be deterred no matter what your skill is practically. Mm-hmm. Also, supplies and if people had objects that they could part ways with, are there objects of any kind, whether it's clothing or furniture or anything more tangible, while we're on that note of just, because there are a lot of people, and obviously people can make cash donations too,
sure.
and they can make a cash donation online, a secure donation at the website risehawaii.org, and I'll give that out again in a moment, but in terms of physical stuff that, mm-hmm. that anyone could donate.
Yeah, our street outreach team is, they've had over 1,000 encounters a year with young people. And, that starts with basic hygiene supplies. So travel size deodorant, socks, underwear, razors, those kind of essentials that a young person needs. And to help build that trust and rapport to take care of them until they are ready to come in and seek shelter. The other piece that is really essential for us right now as we are transitioning young people from the RISE Access Center into their own place. Oftentimes it's kind of empty and there's not a whole lot of furniture. So we're right now looking for dressers, tables, sofas, things like that, so that when our young people do transition out, they're not just kind of going into just four cinder block walls. We want to try and replicate that warm, homey feeling that we have at RISE into their new place. So,
well, that's a great way for people, anyone who's parting ways with stuff, and maybe you're touched, or maybe you've spent time on the streets in Hawaii and are blessed to have made it off of them and hear this segment and realize it'd be a great way to, if you're so fortunate that you're upgrading around the house even after going through that and you want to donate your old stuff, let me give you the contact information. These folks could put it to good use, as you probably were hearing. RISEHawaii.org, and that's RYSE Hawaii.org, which stands for Residential Youth Services and Empowerment. So RISEHawaii.org, info@RISEHawaii.org. And let me give you the phone number, 808-498-5180. We've got all that contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, all of our previous Helping Hand segments waiting for you at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. What else could you use help with over there? What's not working right? Something with the lawn, outdoor landscaping, vehicles?
Yes, you could imagine what it is. The Office of Youth Services and the maintenance crew at Kawailoa, they do a great job in trying to keep the lawns and everything manicured. But we do get folks from the community that want to come in and do a Saturday service project. The building that we're in is pretty run down. I'd like to say it's been put together with some duct tape and some caulk, but there are always kind of more high service needs. Come up, do a four-hour service project, have a barbecue with our young people, get to know them and see how just truly amazing these kids are. So
there's a lot of ideas, and you can reach out and ask Carla yourself if you have any questions. She's very accessible and, as you can tell, passionate about helping folks in need. She's the executive director of RISE, and that's Residential Youth Services and Empowerment, Carla Hauser. And a thrill to have you guys back on and doing some really good work. Sounds like a beautiful place to be doing it, and I hope that this is useful and inspires a lot of people who are super blessed with lots of stuff in their life to share some of it with you and those folks. And on behalf of all the kids, you're given a second chance to and helping them out. Thank you so much for doing that, and Les, thanks for coming down here and letting me help.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm grateful.